Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Through testimonies of praise and what God has done in our life and each and every day, we have an opportunity just to lift Him up. And let me tell you about my Jesus. I like that, sister. That's wonderful. Praise God. We're going to get ready and go right straight into prayer this morning. If those of you that can stand with us to honor the Lord this morning as we go to prayer. Just like the song was singing, this is God's house. Amen. It's a place we can bring everything. All the situations that come seem to come against us, and also that praise and worship of everything that God's done. If we put Him first and we want to worship Him and just magnify His name and just faithfully just release our lives and our families into His mighty hands, praise God. You know, those winds blow. Well, God's in control of that too. Those storms come, but God's in control. And as we go to the Lord this morning, let's continue to praise Him. And also, if you have a prayer request this morning, just show by raising of your hand. On this Palm Sunday, as we just dedicate everything to the Lord. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we want to praise you. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, dear Lord. You loved us even when we're unlovable, dear Lord. You lift us up when we need it. Lord, you strengthen and guide us, dear Lord, and we need you all the time. So it's a constant day. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise you, Lord, for these testimonies, for these healings, for everything that you've done. Now, Lord, you see those hands that are raised this morning. You know the situation's going on, dear Lord. We have to pray for those in assisted living, nursing homes, for the caretakers, dear Lord, for those that are struggling. Lord, we know we have a group of folks that's traveling, coming back home after spring break. We ask for your protection to be upon them. Dear Lord, in this busy world that we live in, Lord, may we always give you the glory and the honor that you so justly deserve. Dear Lord, put you first in our life, first in our day, dear Lord, first in every hour. Lord, we love you and we thank you, dear Lord, for those witnesses and those testimonies sitting here in this congregation, dear Lord, that just lift you up and honor you. Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them. Lord, all the ministries going forth from our church, dear Lord, we ask that you'll just touch and, dear Lord, that you'll just continue to let it just go to magnify you. Dear Lord, we just love you and we praise you. Lord, thank you for all that you've done and in all that you're doing. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. Praise God. What a feeling that he can bring into our day and our hour. While you're standing, they're playing this in the background now. We're going to do the old rugged cross this morning. Praise the Lord. Page 305. You know, it's not just a certain season of the year. Y'all may be seated if you can, but it's that love continuously shared for each and every one of us that He just loves us. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up an offering, but first we have a couple of announcements. One of them is, and I know what I'd mentioned to y'all about the Easter play. We will be meeting this afternoon at 4 p.m., so everyone involved in the Easter play, please be here. The children don't have to come. This is just for the scene setups and the things that we're doing. So we will be using the kids in the play. So next Sunday morning when y'all bring them for Sunday school, just leave them up here when they come in. And both adult classes will be combined downstairs. So we're going to ask the adults to go downstairs for Sunday school next week. And all the kids, when you bring your kids in, just bring them up here and we'll take them from there. Praise God. So they will be... There's not really any extra practice. They're going to do what they're going to be going over will be done in their Sunday school classes. So it would be a wonderful time. Wonderful Easter presentation. I just give God the glory. Ask y'all to just keep us in prayer. Also, Ms. Karen has an announcement. And then I think Sister Linda will have an announcement for their plans for Tuesday. Go ahead, Ms. Karen.
After service this morning is going to be an egg hunt. We're going to have all your children. So if you want to see it, just as soon as service is over, you can go right out here, I'm sure. In that large field is where we'll be hiding eggs. Little ones will be in the little playground that's fenced. But just walk right out there. We'll wait a few minutes, but don't dilly-dally, because your children will be wanting those eggs. So.
We know the kids are ready. That's right. Ms. Linda, let me give you a mic so you can... Well, we want them to be able to hear it. Here you
go. Okay. I thank the Lord today for being here. I come a long way. But you know what? It's worth every bit of it. It's hard to find a church that preaches the truth, that has the Holy Spirit in it, and has such a great pastor in his family. Amen. Do you agree with me?
Yes. Amen. 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 Amen.
Okay. Of course, this is about the ladies' ministry. I urge you ladies to get involved. You know, I hate to say this, majority-wise, women outdo men usually in church, Brother Eddie. Statistic-wise, there's more women usually that attend church than men. I'm sorry. But anyway, I feel like kind of sometimes we're the backbone of the church. We're doing a lot of things that people don't see. But I thank God for the ladies' ministry. If you haven't attended, please come and be a part of that. It's every second Tuesday night of the month. It's 6:30 next door usually. And so this month we have a special speaker, which is my daughter. I'm very proud of Raquel Neal. She's from LaGrange, Georgia, and she'll have an anointed message. Today, she's speaking at another church. So it's her fourth time there, Brother Eddie. And so I thank God for that. So bless you all, and let's enter into the Spirit this morning.
Amen.
Morning. I've been in so much pain the last several days. I almost didn't come to church today because I hurt so bad in my body. But my childhood pastor sends me a scripture. Amen. Every single day of my life. and I'm forever grateful for that. But not only that, out of the blue, he don't know what I'm going through, but he'll always say, I'm praying for you. And that makes a difference with me. When I know someone is calling out to God for me on my behalf, when I'm weak and I can't do it, he steps in. God always knows what we're going through. Amen. And I'm just thankful because I said, you know, I'm going to get ready. I know Chris already thought, well, she's not coming because I could barely even walk. But I was praying in my room and I said, Lord, give me strength because I know there's a blessing waiting for me today. If you'll just get up and go. You know, I was thinking about my mom this morning. She wanted so bad to be at church today. But I know God is going to heal my mama. Yes. I've always seen my mama be dedicated to the Lord, and whenever she's down, it hurts me. It makes me hurt. So I ask you today to please remember my mom in prayer today. She goes to the cardiologist Friday and we'll know more, but she's ready to get off of the oxygen. She tried yesterday, but it dropped in the 70s. And I told her, I said, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing over her body, amen? So it doesn't matter what you need today, no matter the lowest valley you're going through, God is with you. He will carry you through, amen? Worship with us today.
Can I get a witness? get through this or not, but with God's help, I know I will. I had a procedure on Friday, and everything was supposed to go okay. I went in, I carried Jesus with me, but the devil showed up too. My heart rate went down to 28. They thought they were going to lose me. But God come through. God come through. It just wasn't my time. But I didn't have any idea when I went in that procedure room that there was going to be anything going on. I just knew I was ready to go home if that's where he wanted me. But I thought I was just going to walk right on out of there and everything was going to be fine. I'm glad that God was with me. I would not be here this morning. I'd be shouting on the streets of glory. But I'm glad that God was with me. If you don't know the Lord this morning, don't leave here without him. Don't leave here without him. He loves you so much, and he'll be with you every step of the way. Thank you.
Can I get a witness? How many knows that God is able? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Aren't you glad that the Lord is with us? Even in the most direst times, even the most sickness or afflicted times that we face, he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In fact, I'll go all the way with the end of you. As someone once said, we're a winner either way. We're a winner if he heals us and gives us more life, or we're certainly a winner if he takes us home to glory. One of these days, all that sickness is going to be over. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. One of these days, there'll be no more sorrow, no grief, no pain, no more death. Amen. But until then, let's carry on. Amen. And as Sister Linda said, if you're not ready for that day, don't put it off. Don't wait until tomorrow. Get things right today. Today, the day is the day of salvation. Amen. You must be born again, as the Bible said. Amen. If shaking your hand would do it, I'd close my Bible and shake everybody's hand. Amen. But you have to be born again. It's an individual matter. Amen. And how many knows that God's ready when you are? Amen. Amen. One more hand clap of praise for Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, how many came prepared? How many brought your sword with you? The Word of God. How many knows that we're in a battle? How many knows we're going to win? Does that make you happy? Amen. Does that make you victorious to know that we're going to win? Hallelujah. Sometimes we walk around like we think we're going to lose. Amen. Check the back of your book. We're winners. Amen. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 33 this morning, thank you for standing. We want to read verses 11 through 15. Has God been good to anybody this week? Amen. Such a great God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 11 through number 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. God, for these wonderful testimonies of praise. You are still a healing Savior. And Father, we're so thankful for that. And you are one who is still with your arms outstretched, beckoning those who are lost to come to you before it's everlasting too late. Father, we pray your anointing this morning. We pray the Holy Spirit, God, would just rain down upon us. God, I ask you to anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, use this vessel as you see fit. Speak to us, God, that we may be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Today I want to bring a message entitled, In Thy Presence. In Thy Presence. I certainly hope that those of us who are born again truly appreciate the honor and the privilege and the benefit it is to live in the presence of a holy God. I cannot imagine going one day without the presence of God. I need him continuously. I constantly have to refer him to him on a daily basis. I don't see how people make it through the day or the week that don't have a relationship with Jesus. He is the greatest confidant. He is the comforter. He is that personal friend that will lead and guide us. This morning we find Moses speaking unto the Lord. Or someone might say he was listening unto the Lord. We've often talked about prayer time. Sometimes it's just as important to listen as it is to talk. To go into intercessory prayer with God and open up your heart's mind and your ears and listen to what God would have us to say. And this is the time that was after Moses' first trip up to the mountain of God, up to Mount Horeb. This was after the fiasco of the golden calf, when the people grew restless because Moses spent so much time on the mountain. And they needed a leader. They wanted something they could touch and feel. Who knows, we're living in a society when they want to be touchy and feely and they want something to entertain them. And so was the children of Israel. So in the absence of Moses, they erected and made a molten calf out of gold. And they began to dance around it and worship it. And, you know, there was no power in that golden calf whatsoever. And Moses was very irate with them. And not only was Moses irate, but God became angry with the children of Israel. And God declares his anger toward the children of Israel. He says, I will send an angel before thee to drive out the enemies. Understand that God will not make a promise or not break a promise that he has made. He had already promised the children of Israel that he would lead them into the land of milk and honey, into the Canaan land out of Egyptian bondage. But because, and he called to them and referred to them as a stiff-necked people, meaning one that was rebellious, meaning one that would turn their back easily on their Jehovah God. And he said, I will not go with thee into this land of Canaan, but I'll send an angel to drive out the enemies before you. And this disturbed Moses. You remember Moses was there at the burning bush. Moses was there when he got the mission from God himself out of the burning bush that he was in fact to go down to Egypt as God's anointed messenger. Man, so many people think Moses freed the people of Israel. He did not. God did. I said, Moses didn't do it. God did. Moses was a messenger, amen? Let me just pause to say, if you're looking for me to save you, I can't do it, but God can. If you're looking for Brother Eddie to heal you, I can't do it, but I know somebody who can. I serve a risen Savior. I serve a mighty God who is able to do all things, amen? Moses was quite disturbed with this. So Moses did what normal people would do when they become concerned or maybe confused or need direction. He went into the house of the Lord. Thank God that no people know where to get in touch with God. I said, thank God there's a church. I'm not talking about a building. This is a building. This is a meeting place. How many knows that, thank God, there is a body of Christ. There is a church, and it's vibrant, and it's going, amen, and it's still just as full of the power of God as it ever was. And when people have a need, many times they contact the church. Many times we find ourselves hardly able to wait until the next time that we meet together so that we can bring our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Moses was concerned and he went into the tabernacle, to the ceremonial place of God. Now, I'm not saying that the church building is the only place you can find God. If that were so, I would bring my bed up here, my kitchen, and I wouldn't leave except to go get more groceries. I'd live here. But I'm so thankful that I can find the presence of God in my little home there. I'm so thankful that I can find the presence of God when I'm out working in the yard. I'm so thankful that I'm driving down my road and I know that the presence of God is with me all the time, and I can praise Him and worship Him and love Him anywhere I find an altar. Amen. Moses said, I need to go into the house of the Lord. How many sometimes you just feel like, I just need to get to church. I just need to get with saints of God who will pray and lift me up. And he went into the tabernacle and he began to pour his heart out to God. Something very extraordinary happens that he makes a documentation and he writes it down. And he said, God talked to Moses face to face. Woo, glory. You know what that means? You know, I have a daughter that when she's telling me something sometimes, and if my eyes wander, she'll do this. You know what that means? That means pay attention. Look at me face to face, eyeball to eyeball, so you can comprehend what I'm about to say. And Moses wrote down that God talked to him face to face. Amen. Talked to him as a friend. I don't know. I would imagine that there's people under the sound of my voice today who've had a sitting with God, and God began to talk to you, not only as a friend, but the greatest friend you'll ever have. One that'll give you comfort. One that'll give you direction. One that'll wrap his loving arms around you when nobody else seems to care, when nobody else can do anything. How many knows you got a friend in Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. You've always got a friend in the Lord. And he spoke to Moses, and God was visibly upset, not with Moses, but with the children of Israel. So much so that he said, I will not go in the midst of you into the promised land. I don't know about you, but if sometime in the midst of my prayer session, God began to speak to me and said, I'm not going to go with you in this direction, I would humbly ask God, Lord, then I don't want to go. If you're not going, I'm not going either. Lord, if you're not in this, I don't want to be in it. I don't want to be a part of it. I've been there, Lord. I've been there on my own and tried to do things on my own, and it didn't work. Everything fell around me. Everything was just topsy-turvy, but I found you, amen, and I gave my life to you, and I don't want to go back to the way that it was. I need you every day, every hour of every day. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. Why? Because he loved Moses as a friend. Right then and there, God changed his heart. God changed his mind and said, I'll go with you. Why? Because Moses went in and he sought God on behalf of the children of Israel. I would dare say that there's many of us today, and I know I'm included in this group, are here today not only by the grace of God, but somebody interceded on our behalf. Some mother prayed for me. Some daddy put me on the altar. Some brother, some sister held me up before God when I was lost and undone, and they began to pray for me that I would find God before it was everlasting too late. And I thank God for every prayer. I thank God for every testimony, and I thank God that when I came to an altar of repentance, he forgave me. He loved me. He picked me up. He set me on a solid rock. Moses interceded on behalf of the children of Israel, and God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And look at Moses' response.
Moses said, or he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Lord, if you don't go with us into this promised land of milk and honey, don't even let us go. Lord, if you can't go with me and comfort me and be my guide into this promise, then I don't want that promise. I don't want that new job. I don't want that new direction. So many times, I'm including myself, we pray a prayer of expectation. We're taught to ask and we shall receive. We're taught to believe and it shall be done. And we pray our desire and we pray our will. And we've never once went to our Father in heaven and asked Him, Lord, if it be your will, let me go to this situation, but I don't want to go alone. If you don't go with me, I don't want to go. If you don't accompany me in this walk of life, Lord, don't let me do that. I don't care if it's the highest paying job in the world. I don't care if it's the most attractive position in the world. If it's not God's will, I don't want a part of it. And I found out in my lifetime, I am nothing without God. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't say anything without the presence of God. I am addicted to the presence of God. I need Him every day of my life. It's the best life there is when you give your life to Jesus. And I will not leave the presence of Almighty God. Lord, if you don't go with us, then we won't go. If you don't go with us, it's not worth it. Lord, I want to be what you would have me to be. Lord, I want to live the life that is pleasing unto you. God, I want your will to be done in my life. Now, I will assure you that takes some commitment and dedication. Because many times, the alluring eyes of the world will draw us towards something that is not pleasing unto God. We have examples in the Word of God that has happened. Jesus Himself spoke of a parable of a very wealthy man, had a lot of land holdings, a lot of material gain. Jesus went on to say he had two sons. These sons were part of the legacy of this man. But he said the younger son, I'm paraphrasing now, you know the story. The younger son began to grow tired, restless, bored with his situation in the presence of the father. He was become discontented. Nothing seemed to please him. There was a desire to do something that he had not been able to do in the presence of the Father. He desired liberty and freedom, the ability to go and do whatever he wanted to do. And it just didn't happen overnight. I don't believe that he woke up one morning and said, this is not for me. I believe it gnawed at him. I believe day in and day out, he felt like he was missing out on things in the world. Let me tell you something. If you was raised in a Pentecostal church, you felt that way every morning when you got up. I did. I used to feel, Lord, have mercy. Why didn't the Lord let me be another denomination? They're all having a good time and doing this and that and the other, and I can't even hardly do anything. That was because I was under the presence of a loving father and mother who was teaching me the right and wrong in this world. Now, I'm not saying they chained me down or nothing. Wasn't quite that bad. But I was restricted from a lot of things. And this younger brother, he went through the routines of working in the field and gathering of the harvest, but his heart wasn't in it. This is not a lifestyle. This is not what I want to do. There's too many good things going on out there in the world that I want to be a part of. I'm young. I want to enjoy it while I can. So as time passed, he finally gets up enough nerve to go to his father, and basically he says, this is not for me. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't appreciate what you've done, but this is just not me. Would you please give me mine inheritance? Settle up with me now and let me basically go and do my own thing. Kind of tired of the authority, the rules. I don't know that he said that, but I would imagine it was probably in his mind and in his spirit. This is just not what I want to do. He wanted to be independent. Kind of wanted to live the good life. Couldn't do that under the scrutiny of the father. Couldn't do that in the presence of his dad that was continually looking over his shoulder. Now this is where it gets very interesting. The father could have said, no way, no how. Sit down and shut up. But he didn't. He could have said, like so many parents did, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. You ever heard that? Don't you ever come to me with that request again. But he didn't. Why? Because the father loved him. He loved him because he was his son. Not for what he had done, not what he would do, but he loved him because he was his son. Flesh of flesh, bone of bone, blood. The same DNA. The father says, okay. And imagine the father gave him instruction, probably, knowing a father, loving father, told him certain things to be aware of out there. Maybe it's not what you think out there. Maybe you think that everything's going to be fun and games, but understand there's responsibility for being independent. I don't know. I'm just thinking that's the way the father usually would speak to someone who is about to go out on their own. Well, evidently, the young man paid no attention to that, and he went out and he had a wonderful time. You know, a lot of people say, boy, there ain't nothing out there in the world for you. Oh, yes, there is. That stuff your flesh just truly enjoys, thoroughly just is excited all about. That's the reason it's so difficult to say, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I can still, how many knows you can still enjoy life and have a good time and not be sold out to Satan? But he was so glad to get rid of the chains. He was so glad to get rid of the authority and the rules. He just went out and he had a blast. He'd done everything he'd ever heard about others doing. Boy, this was great. People just flogged him, was all around him, but you a good old boy. Man, we're going to have a good time tonight. Until his money ran out. Till he spent all that he had, everything, his whole inheritance was gone. There became a dearth in the land, a famine. Things were drying up. The economy was bad. Gas prices had soared. Couldn't find groceries on the shelf. Wanted a new Chevrolet, and they didn't even have the parts for it yet. No, I'm just kind of paraphrasing now. But he looked around, and the friends were gone. They wasn't friends. They were leeches, parasites, using him, abusing him. And when his money was gone, they were too. If you think the world loves you, if you think Satan loves you, you got another thing coming. He doesn't. He doesn't care anything about you. He'll chew you up, spit you out, leave you laying on some old alley somewhere. He looked around, nobody was there. Time went on. Things were desperate. He found himself asking a farmer, "Can I just work for what food you give me?" And I don't know that this was exactly what happened, but he found himself down in the pig pen feeding the swine. Things were so bad that he began to eat the food that he was feeding the pigs. Now, I don't want to get really, really grotesque with this, but I could only imagine his condition, how he looked, how he smelled, how rotten his clothes were, living, dwelling, and eating in the pig pen of sin day in and day out. Maybe over the period of time, in his mind, he began to remember how good it was in the presence of the Father. How really good he had it under those rules and regulations and things that his Father had tried to incorporate into his life. No, maybe a part of him longed to be back there, but he was so ashamed. He was so guilt-ridden. He was an independent man. He had asked to be out for the shadow of the Father and get out and do his own things. If he goes back now, his Father's going to say, "You're an absolute failure. I told you that you shouldn't have gone to start with." How could he ever face the Father again in the condition that he was now in? Dirty, rotten, stinky. Not a penny to his name. Eating the food that the pigs. Time passed by, and he began to think, "Well, I can go back to the Father, and I can tell him I'm no longer worthy to be called his son. I'll just come back as one of the hired hands. I'll come back as one of the servants, because even the servants in my Father's house have it better than I've got it in this world. That's what I'll do." So he convinced himself. He got up and he started back to the Father's house. Can I just say that I don't know how far he had ventured from the Father's house, but I will assure you it took him longer to get back to the Father's house than it did to leave the Father's house. Because he left with a bounce in his step. He left with, "I'm the man." But he came back broken, humbled, with nothing to offer the Father other than himself. Probably every step that he took, "I'm going to be just downgraded by my Father. He's going to give me the longest speech. He's going to tell me, 'You made your bed. You might as well lie in it. You're not welcome back here. You denied me. You just go on to be—'" Probably thinking every bit of that. But he had no other option. So he began to walk toward the Father's house. Little did he know that I believe every day that the Son was gone, the Father was praying. Go out and probably look down that road where the Son had left. He said, "Lord, somehow, some way, only you can do this. Make my son realize to come back to me. I don't care what condition he's in. I don't care what he's done. I don't care where he's gone. I want him back in the safety of the Father. Lord, somehow, some way, let him realize that I love him." But the son didn't know that. The son was expecting his father to maybe disinherit him. Maybe each and every morning, as the father prayed, he looked down that road and didn't see anything. He went back and he prayed. And then as time went by, maybe as the father was praying out on that porch and looking down that road, he began to see a figure walking down that road. He rubbed his eyes, looked familiar somewhat, and then again it didn't. Looked like a total stranger. But the nearer that the son got to the father, he began to see that past all of that filth, all of that rottenness, and all of that hair that had grown and probably just completely didn't look like, but he recognized his son. And when the son thought the father would not have anything to do with him, as soon as the father recognized that it was his son, he ran toward him. He grabbed him. He loved him. He kissed him. He said, "This is my son that once was lost, but now he's found." Let me tell you, away from the presence of God is not nearly as attractive as you may think it is. Amen. I don't want to ever leave the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, not only is there safety and security, but there's comfort and there's love you won't get in the world. Nobody can love you like Jesus can. Amen. Father, I have sinned before thee in heaven, and I humbly ask just to come back as one of your servants. Father grabbed him. He turned around. He said, "Go get me a fatted calf and kill it. Bring me a robe signifying that this is my son." Amen. I came to an altar dirty, rotten, seemingly unrecognizable, to a father that saw in me something that he loved. Beyond my appearance, beyond what I have done, beyond who I had become, he looked into my life and my heart. And because that it's written in John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in whosoever," that's you, whosoever, whatsoever you've done, you're still a whosoever, "believeth in him shall not perish, have everlasting life," in the presence of Almighty God. No, you're not going to be a servant. You are, you have always been, and you are now still my son. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't hold that against you? Aren't you thankful that the Father didn't say, "I told you what would happen. You made that bed. You're going to have to lie." No, he put his arms around him and he loved him. "This is my son, who was once lost, but now is found." Thank God that even with burdened with guilt and shame, he was able to return to the Father's house. David said in Psalm 16 and 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore." In thy presence. There's a song that says, "Let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could do nothing. Man, without you, I'd surely fail. But in thy presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Not as the world gives you joy and pleasures, but as a born-again Christian gives you pleasures and full of joy for the rest of your life. There is nothing more comforting than to know when you lay your head on your pillow at night, should you never see the dawning of another day, that you're going home to be with the Lord Jesus. Amen. That is so comforting to know. That's something the world can't give you. Only Jesus can give you that. Psalms 139, 7 and 10 tells us basically, wherever I go, whatever I do, I will be in thy presence. It actually reads like this. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, or Sheol, or the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I will dwell in the presence of Almighty God. Once you've tasted Him and see that He is good, nothing else can ever satisfy your soul like Jesus. Would the music please come? Would you stand and reverent the Spirit of God that is in this place? I feel the anointing, drawing power of the Holy Ghost this morning. I pray that this will be a wake-up call to all of us. It certainly was to me. When I seemingly desire things that my flesh wants without asking God about it, sometimes we're drawn away. Maybe the Spirit of the Lord has said, you don't need that. You need to dwell in the presence of Almighty God. One thing that I have desired, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all my life. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle, the body that the Spirit of God dwells in. He's a comforter. He's a healer. He's certainly our Lord and Savior. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, this is a time of people searching their souls. If in fact you've not made that commitment, why not today? Palm Sunday, the very first day of the week of the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And that's a glorious time. No better time to give your life to the Lord. Is there one this morning that would make your way down to this altar and say, you know, you don't have to tell me anything. In fact, God already knows and sees your heart. But if you want to get back in touch with God, if you want to get back in the very presence of God, maybe you're not lost, maybe you're not backslidden, you've just kind of let other things infiltrate your life. Maybe it's time to rearrange those things and once again put the Lord Jesus at the top. This altar's open for you as well. Is there one this morning that would come? I'm not going to hold you long. If God can't move you, I certainly can't. But this is your time. This is your opportunity. If in fact everyone's born again, ready to go, should the Lord come back today or should He call you home, then thank God for that. I'll see you in heaven. But if one has a need this morning, if you're sick, if you're afflicted, if you just need a touch from the Lord, this altar is open to you as well. I know that there's saints of God in here that'll pray with you, pray for you. If you need healing in your body, please come forward. Hallelujah. Some of you elders and saints gather around.
Not so long ago, I left here in search of a place to soothe my longing inside. Just a wandering soul, I was searching for ways to fulfill my burning desire. Looking back now, I realize the things of this world can never satisfy. No, I long to start all over again. I must find my way back to the place I began. I'm on my way back. On my way home. The voice of forgiveness beckons me to return. Been gone way too long. Been forgotten and gone. On my way back, I'm on my way home. Right here and now, where I stand is breaking my heart. I'm afraid and alone, but I know that somehow soon I'll be making my way back to where I belong. I've heard that God's patience and love would pardon the sin I am so guilty of, and oh, I long to feel his tender embrace. Restored back to God by his mercy and grace, I'm on my way back, on my way home. Voice of forgiveness beckons me to return. Been gone way too long. The pleasure of sin for a season has passed. It's been forgotten and gone. On my breaking my heart, I'm afraid and alone, but I know that somehow soon I'll be making my way back to where I belong. I've heard that God's patience and love, it would pardon the sin I am so guilty of. And oh, I long to feel his tender embrace. Restored back to God by his mercy and grace, I'm on my way back, on my way home. Voice of forgiveness beckons me to return. Been gone way too long. The pleasure of sin for a season has passed. It's been forgotten and still you've heard no answer. And has your faith grown weak? You feel you're all alone. Don't give up, for the God
precious, he is so precious.
Jesus is precious to me.
With us this evening. Just praise God. You never know what God's doing, and just all these testimonies of praise and all the answered prayers and just a whole nother combination that we know the Lord's taking care of right now. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. Well, I'm going to ask those in drama, don't forget to be here. We want to get started promptly at 4 if it's all possible for you to be here with us this evening. There's a lot of busy times out of Bell Circle in their meeting. Yes, Sister Linda. Thank you. I had. Absolutely. And for all the moms and pops and grandparents that's going to watch the kids at the egg hunt, they said you better get over here pretty quick. So y'all can use this side door. There's a ramp here if anybody needs it. All righty. We're going to go ahead and just pray. We're going to pray for the kids over there too as they're having fun. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, thank you for your blessings, for your mercy and grace. The Lord, again, as we've come together today, the Lord, we just thank you for your holy presence. Lord, we thank you for the powerful word that you've given us. And, dear Lord, your Bible is new yesterday, today, and forevermore. And, dear Lord, we love and praise you. Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.